The views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants in no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go, folks. Welcome to the Power Hour. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of this hour, of the John DePietro Show, sponsored by our friends at K's, whether it's lunch, dinner, or a drink in the lounge. Stop in at K's. They're waiting for you. Located right on Cass Ave, across from CVS in Woonsocket, 1013 Cass Ave in Woonsocket. K's, lunch, dinner, delicious sandwich, drink in the lounge. Stop in at K's. Well, folks, he's been with us every step of the way. And we do it year-round. It is Political Monday, and it is Election Eve. Good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, EliteWirelessRI.com. And joining us right now is, in fact, the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. Great to be with you.
You know, this is, it's not off-topic, but it is a developing story, Justin. And as you and I believe we have talked about, and I don't for the life of me understand this with some other members of the media. To his credit, I think Pat Cortalesso, who's been trying to run a respectable campaign against Nelly Gobia, has in fact brought it up. But for whatever reason, other people don't harp on it. And that is, people need to know that in Rhode Island, we are not supposed to have early voting. You see different states where people are lined up because they have early voting. In Rhode Island, it's supposed to be emergency voting. And Nelly Gobia, 2 years ago, emergency voting was 1 week. Under Nelly Gobia, they bumped it up in, quote, emergency voting started, I believe, October 17th, so 3 weeks out. Now, Nelly Gobia tweeted out a video of the mayor of Central Falls, Diosa, saying, I want to show everyone how easy it is for to vote. I don't know if he uses the term. I'll have to play it, but blah, 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 and vote. He goes in. They're filming him, and he's doing a demonstration. The woman behind the counter, he doesn't have to say that it's an emergency or what the emergency is. He goes in, you know, hands her something. She gives him the ballot. He fills it out. See, it's that easy. Well, according to Dan McGowan of Channel 12, and this just hit at 11:36 this morning, Providence spokesperson confirms state police were at the Board of Canvassers today. A complaint about the city accepting municipal IDs for early voting. The spokesperson at the Board of Canvassers informed the state police IDs aren't required at all for early voting because the Board of Canvassers matches the signatures. Now, the problems with this, number one, if there's a complaint, I'm willing to bet that it was made in Providence by someone who obviously has witnessed or is aware that there's early voting going on. I like and respect Dan McGowan. But even he is now using the term early voting when it's supposed to be emergency votings. But what stands out to me is the Secretary of State and even the Mayor of Central Falls, they have been insisting, oh, no, you have to show an ID. Now, myself and others have been saying that's not true. And even Pat Cortalesso has been saying that's not true. You can just go in and you don't have to show an ID. Well, the state police went to the Board of Canvassers and the according to the spokesperson for the Board of Canvassers, they informed the state police IDs aren't required for, again, there's that term, early voting, because the Board of Canvassers matches the signatures. So what that means, and it comes back to, Justin, is it all comes back to, and this is something I think you and I have talked about for at least the last 18 months, and that is, it is the nature of how people have been able to register to vote. Because I said that these municipal IDs would be used for voting and primarily for people who are non-citizens. The person at Channel 6 and others, they've, oh, absolutely not. When Alorza announced it, he said, no, these are not to be used for voting. Well, apparently they have been used for voting, these municipal IDs, instead of having a normal thing. But I go back to the fact that you could walk in, you don't have to show an ID, and then they say as long as the signature matches. Now, from what I understand, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm not an authority on a signature. If somebody just scribbles Justin Katz and you just do a quick scribble, it comes back to who was registered in the first place. There's just so much about this, Justin, that jumps out. And Raimondo, well, we'll get to Raimondo, but let me just get your reaction to just this story and how it's playing out. That I just don't think they have been forthright about the process of this, quote, emergency voting, which now everyone, including the state police, the board of canvassers, and now the media are calling it early voting.
Well, yeah, there are a number of steps to this whole process. I mean, the idea of registering to vote, Monique Chartier has on OceanStateCurrent.com for years tracked the many different IDs you can use. And it comes down to, you know, you, almost like if you have an electric bill and a letter from somebody who vouches that you are who you say you are, that's good enough to become registered to vote. There are codes they can put in to let you register anyway without a social security number. I think it's called ironically, the 666 code. So that gets you registered if your signature matches. I mean, who knows? When you match a signature, you're relying a lot on the clerks in the offices who are doing the comparison.
Right.
And they can be doing hundreds or thousands a day. How carefully are they really looking? I mean, that's the kind of thing, almost if it's, you have to get down to where there's a very close race that a candidate is willing to continue to sue to get more and more detail on the vote, maybe then you'll hit some kind of threshold where the signatures matter. But this has been the lack of ID. We've talked about this with regard to mail ballots, with regard to, as you're saying, the emergency early voting. And it's definitely a weak point in our system, especially when, you know, the penalties for campaign fraud, unless you can really prove somebody intended, if somebody's willing to say, oh, oops, I thought I could do that, they more or less get off with having committed voter fraud. And so we've got a lot of issues on here, and they all add up. And we've seen this with Nelly Gorvia, too, with the changes in notary publics and whether your birth date is shown on the voter logs that people can get. All of this stuff is just little steps that make fraud, election stealing a little bit easier, a little bit harder to catch. And that's all it really takes, is you just ramp that up a little bit. Every one of these new IDs, maybe, oh, this one won't be, this one will be. You can use this for this purpose and that purpose, but it's just one more step after another. And so you end up with something like, I haven't seen the Mayor Diosa video, but it sounds almost like something you would expect James O'Keefe to do as a sting video. Let me show you how easy it is to vote, early vote, when it's supposed to be, as you say, for emergencies. I mean, instead they're advertising it as something you can do. And it all starts to feel an awful lot like trying to change the outcomes of votes just by getting lots of people voting in the way that people who tell them to vote, often with, you know, campaign dollars, as we've said with Gina Raimondo, millions of campaign dollars able to go out and get a notary public to get a signature for somebody or so on and so forth. And it does undermine, I think, over time, confidence that we can really trust that our election outcomes are legitimate, especially if they're close, as they were in Cranston 2 years ago.
That is exactly right. And especially then when it also comes down to this whole business of I really want to see, to me, they open it up early. A lot of people didn't know about that. To his credit, Pat Cortalesa held a press conference and had someone come forward, and it was someone who explained that he and his son went to get a free voter ID, and Justin, they walked in, and the person, they didn't ask him for anything. He had a school ID ready. I believe he was 18 and 19 years old. He didn't have his driver's license. And they didn't ask him for anything. He could have said, fill out this form. He could have said, my name is Justin Katz, and I live at 15 Broad Street, and I'm 30 years old. And boom, the woman, they took his picture. They gave him the free ID. They did not ask for one thing. But I think when the Providence Journal discovered that Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea changed the provisions of how you can, in fact, the fact they took off the voter rolls, the year of birth and the birthday, and she said, oh, I'm doing that to protect against identity theft. That just showed, and I raised the question. The Journal, I know they're under pressure. No, they didn't do a follow-up story on that. No one else did a follow-up story on that. To me, that raised questions of what other things were possibly going on in that office and what other provisions did they change. But without knowing the vote total, I want to throw this at you and get your reaction. Now, I heard that 4 years ago, the Fung people were very, had a presence, if you will, in parts of Providence, especially South Providence. This time around, they have spent a lot of time in the East Bay. Now, Bob Healy, rest in peace, the cool moose, he pulled over 70,000 votes 4 years ago. So it seems the Fung strategy has been to kind of forget about Providence and focus on trying to get those Healy votes, because Healy won Bristol and Warren. But that means to me that I just wonder how overwhelming, and let's put it right out there, Justin, back in May, Raimondo had 40 paid canvassers, back in May, 40. I don't know how many she's had the past 2 months, but I think we could be looking at unbelievable returns from Providence. And as you remember, earlier in the year, she and her, you know, they took over that Providence City Committee, the Democrat Committee, with the guys that had ties to her. But I think you could be looking at record numbers for Raimondo as far as emergency votes, emergency balloting, and or mail ballots strictly coming out of the city of Providence.
Well, that's certainly going to be one of the areas of interest to watch. And we've been saying that for a long time, that after the election, the mail ballots are going to be probably the most interesting data point. If that really does swing up in an urban setting, I think we need to take a hard look at how we allow notary publics to go out and cultivate votes from people who, you know, there's no way to check unless you get somebody who somehow comes forward and checks their ballot, or I'm not even sure what the process would be for that. You'll never know if votes have changed, if votes were improperly pressured on people. It's hard to find that stuff out. As far as Fung spending time in the East Bay, going after the Healy vote, Healy was kind of a local character in East Bay, so I don't know that those are votes are up for grabs necessarily. It was just because it was him, one-shot deal. You almost think you'd be better off with a lot of people in Providence just trying to counter some of that wave, because after all, you're looking for the total vote in the state. It's not like winning one city gains you anything. It's not there. We don't have a state-level electoral college. Abandoning Providence would seem to be a pretty bad idea.
Well, last time around, I'm looking at the exact numbers, and 4 years ago, Governor Gina Raimondo, she received 24,600 votes, almost 25,000 votes, 65% of the vote in Providence. Mayor Fung got 22% of the vote in Providence, a little over 8,000 votes. So I want people to keep that number in mind. And then Healy actually got 10% and 4,000 votes just in Providence. But Raimondo got 25,000 votes in Providence 4 years ago. Now, as much as Mayor Fung did win Cranston for the overall vote total, his vote total in Cranston, he received 14,000 votes and 55% of the vote, and Raimondo got 30% of the vote and 8,000 votes. But just in fact, if he can get that, I think it's going to be huge just how far or how much they're able to deliver the vote in Providence. Because again, if you go back 4 years ago, and I think this is an important point, Gina Raimondo received 131,000 votes. She got 40% of the vote. Cranston Mayor Alan Fung received 117,000 votes, 36% of the vote. And then Healy got 69,000 votes. 69,000 votes and 21% of the vote. So you have to wonder, where are those 69,000 votes going to go? And if she got 131,000 last time, so beating Fung by roughly right around 13,000 votes, that is the difference. If Fung could have pulled 13,000 votes from Bob Healy, he would have beat Gina Raimondo. But I am going to be very interested to see that if she was able to pull off, Justin, 25,000 votes last time around, I would think that they want to pad it even more. And I'm not going to go with some of the other districts, but I'm willing to bet in Providence her goal is to surpass that. Now, Healy got 4,000 votes. So it's very conceivable not only will she get over 30,000 votes in Providence, but she could end up getting maybe even 35,000 votes. Do you think Dee Dee Whitman is really making a strong effort against Mayor Alorza? And I think a lot of the Whitman people would be Fung voters because Gina Raimondo on her front lawn has a David Cicilline sign and has a Mayor Alorza sign. Do you think that Dee Dee Whitman could end up helping Fung? Because if you're with Dee Dee Whitman, I'm not convinced that you're with Gina Raimondo. You could be voting for Gina, but I don't know if you're voting for Alorza, or maybe if you're voting for Alorza, you're also voting for Gina.
Right. Well, that's gonna have some interesting dynamics. I mean, you haven't heard much about it, but there are people who would say, hey, let's have a female governor and a female mayor of the lead city, and that's going to create some of a push there.
Yes.
But I have a feeling in Rhode Island, I mean, you hear nationally that kind of the left and the right are very enthusiastic. I'm not picking up a whole lot of that in Rhode Island, probably because everything's so stuck in its rut here that neither side can get much motivation. But I do think there are going to be some interesting dynamics happening where outsiders can win, mostly in a general assembly, where you get either the progressive or the more conservative candidate, just because the establishment is kind of confused and doesn't know what it wants to do at this point, especially as sort of establishment Democrats try to figure out what to do about progressives. So there may be people that Whitman is pulling into the race who are going to say, you know, I'll go with Fung. Because Raimondo hasn't been that great, and there's just this kind of an anti-establishment vibe out there. It's kind of a low hum in Rhode Island, but it's there. So that could be a possibility. And if the mayor with Mayor Fung were in the city campaigning there a bit more, I think he'd have some leverage, especially given that identity politics doesn't hurt him at all. In a way, it would hurt other Republican candidates.
I would agree with you. And also, what do you make right now? And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro on this election eve. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Political Monday. Justin, what do you make of the state of the race right now with the Trillo campaign? Because what I try to point out to people, number one, I can't believe the media still reports on certain things he puts out. There's no ramifications for him. There's no ramifications with some of these polling numbers. You know, Go Local Prov had that poll. Had him up to 17% or something like that, something outrageous. And the Journal came out and only had him at 5%. Channel 12 has had him somewhere at 6 or 9%. But Trillo putting out all these numbers, he just seems to be in a situation. And in this latest stunt over the weekend of putting out, now he thinks he's broken the 30% mark. He's got 33%. Raimondo's got 39%. What I try to explain to people is there's no downside. He's never running again. He can say anything. He can say and do anything. There's no accountability. The next day, he's not going to be dragged in front of a judge. He's not going to be asked to explain where these numbers came from. They can say anything. That they were telling people back in October that the president was going to come in and do a rally. I know of people that were handing out Trillo signs because they thought they were going to get a chance to meet President Trump. That never developed. The media kept this narrative. Is Trump going to come in and help Trillo? The biggest endorsement he got was Morgan, who continues this nonsense that he's the only one that can beat Gina Raimondo. But people that you talk to that saw him in that debate on Thursday night, I just think a lot of people were turned off. It's almost been too much, Joe Trillo. And I get the sense that just since the Thursday night debate, that I think it's kind of the whole charade is collapsing, and he could end up going, I think, much lower than maybe where he was 1 or 2 weeks ago.
Well, a lot of these things happened. What was it with John Robitaille a few years ago running? I think you've said that you thought if that race had gone on for another week or two, he might have had it because he had the momentum with him. That can happen. So it becomes the question of whether Trillo deflates enough over the next few days. My favorite I think it's in the Providence Journal today, is he's making the claim that people were going trick-or-treating as him.
Yeah.
which is funny. I just it's hard to believe the reporters don't say, oh, okay, that's a cute story. Do you have any evidence?
Sure,
of that?
Show me that.
Instead they just print it, like
they do.
Whatever he says is fine. So I think a lot of the question, I think, is going to come down. I recall when I voted for president last time around, I went in planning not to vote for either candidate. And I ended up voting for Donald Trump because I just, in the voting booth, as I looked at the ballot, I said, you know, there has to be a message made.
Yep.
Even if he loses, even if my vote does not matter one bit in Rhode Island for this race, there has to be some kind of a message. And I think a lot of the question is going to come down to whether people who were planning to vote for Trillo mostly as a protest vote are standing in that voting booth looking at with Raimondo and Fung's names right there in front of them and say, you know what? I'm not going to throw my vote away. I'm not going to just pretend there's no difference between Raimondo and Fung and vote for Fung. I think that's what Alan Fung has to hope for at this point. And that's a lot, that kind of shift in last minute shift in attitude is a lot of what he ought to be trying to build in his own messaging at this time.
I agree. And they have, you know, definitely put out the ads and some different things trying to get that message across. And I think you're right, Justin. I think that is important because then when push comes to shove, okay, now this is it. Are you really going to mark that off? There's no way there's just no way it's a Healy situation. Healy did start to gain momentum and started to take off. It also, you saw, the thing with Robitaille was you also saw the destruction where Frank Caprio, you know, the campaign was just virtually in collapse and going the wrong way. And then he tried that shove it thing and it blew up in his face and then he ended up finishing third. And then Robitaille just, people were just going with, he just started to ride this momentum. So you wonder if it's going to turn into that. But Raimondo, to me, Justin, she really has been in the bunker. She hasn't done any campaign events. She hasn't done any press conference outside of here or there or anything like that. She's let her spokespeople do a lot of the talking for her. She seemed at the debates like she was, I won't say not trying, but the most minimal effort possible, right? Like not even engaging, not even looking at her opponents, looking straight ahead. Walking out, and she just, it goes beyond playing it safe. I just wonder if her get out the vote is so astronomical, the likes of which we've never seen, that she to me seems like someone that feels that she absolutely has it wrapped up, that she can't say anything, but that she whether it's true or not, but to me, she strikes me, and it really struck me in that debate, that to her, this is all just formality. It's, you know, sometimes when a team is up 35 points, 40 points at the end of a game, and then they show them on the sidelines, and you're looking like the announcer's saying, well, there's still 6 minutes left on the clock, but the starters are out of the game. They're chatting amongst themselves, already planning where they're going to go afterwards. She struck me is she seems to feel that this thing is nailed down, right or wrong. Any thoughts on the debate?
Well, I think, I'm sure she feels very confident, and I'm sure there's a lot of the get out the vote and mail ballots that she has a good sensor in her pocket. But I do think they're playing it. They're trying, it's a no risk. Don't take any risks. Don't give any possibility for some viral flare-up that suddenly reminds people that they don't like you, that kind of thing. There have been a number of these things, the governor's policy-wise, which is kind of corrupt in my view. But so she announces that several communities are getting Main Street money from the Commerce Corporation, but the Commerce Corporation board votes next week. So she front-loaded that. Meanwhile, they're pushing back the 610 construction projects. They're pushing back announcing the test scores from our public schools till next month, even though the numbers are probably ready. Also, some other reports on education in Rhode Island have been pushed back until after the election. So they're clearing the board. It's almost like they feel like they've got the momentum. They feel like they've done all the work. The ice is clear as they skid forward, and they're just trying to maintain this silence in which nothing can occur to surprise anybody. It kind of goes back to the conversation about early voting and mail ballots, because if you get people to vote 2 weeks before the election, then nothing that happens after that matters for their votes. So that seems to be the theme of this final couple of weeks. And it's almost like in the past couple of weeks, you could almost feel the air sucking out of the election to
yes.
that extent.
Yeah. No, that's an excellent point, because of the last 2 weeks, especially after Thursday night, where, you know, we got a glimpse, Justin. Again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. I think Thursday night, Justin, in that debate, we did get a sense, and you can't deny that regardless of motivation of Joe Trillo, why he ran or so forth, but I think Thursday night, the Channel 10 debate, you got a slight glimpse of what this race may have been if it had just been a one-on-one of Fung against Raimondo, the much as Massachusetts was, which was just Charlie Baker and his opponent on stage. And it would have been a completely different race, because to me, Raimondo, there's so many different things that that she was ripe, so to speak, to get criticized for and fear criticism for. And if this had just been a Fung against Raimondo, it would have been a completely different dynamic. She wouldn't have been able to lay low. She would have had to be out there. We would have seen polling numbers that would have shown, you know, a very tight race, maybe even, you know, too close to call, toss up. Money really starts to fly in. I've never seen anyone play it so safe. I mean, completely, just literally, you know, and I know people use the expression, but running out the clock. Doesn't want to say anything, trip up, and not in any way trying to do anything that's going to throw her off message. So very, very disciplined candidate. And if she pulls this off tomorrow, Justin Katz, she is 5-0. She is term limited out. And she can take the rest of this month off in December and recharge. And then after she's sworn in January, we can start to get a sense of where this thing is going to go. And I believe that all roads lead to New Hampshire and Iowa. Why not? She's got nothing to lose. She is a governor. She's a female. Plays the gender card very, very strong. Very impressive resume. Has shown the ability to raise money. What people also need to understand is when you run and lose, those people that you went to are then very hesitant to give you money again, and many times not at all. When you run, if they give you a donation and you win, and then you run again and they give you more money this time and you win, it's like a stock and it's like a horse. It just keeps winning every time you bet on it, because that's what they're doing. They're betting and they're winning because you keep going. As much as we're in Rhode Island, this would not be Chafee running on the metric system. In her own time off, national network, you throw your hat in the ring, close to New Hampshire, made inroads up there with Hillary. People, if she does win, I think all signs point to a White House run.
Maybe. I mean, I'll be surprised if it's, I mean, I'm sure that's in her vision for her future. Whether it's 2020, that I don't know. I think she's going to want to, going to want to consolidate her gains nationally by looking for something in the U.S. Senate. Going up in a mud-slinging, dirty presidential campaign against Donald Trump is going to be...
Hold on. We're just there's a lot to be gained just by being in the race. And then even, you know, you go as far as the money's going to take you. And then someone like, who I think, Deval Patrick, former governor of Mass, or Michael Bloomberg, could even see a Joe Biden. There's some connection there. You get noticed. It's an incredible experience you get from that. You really start to build a national network. I know people mention the Senate race, but let's just talk about that just for a moment. And again, folks, this all hinges if she wins tomorrow, but tomorrow night, I should say. But Jack Reed is up in 2 years. She is not going to challenge Jack Reed for that Senate seat. White House, unless something dramatic happens, she would then have to be out of the game and wait a little bit. And she doesn't. If you let down the network and put things down, then someone else picks it up. And in politics, it's all timing. It's striking while the iron is hot. Even if you're unsuccessful, there's a way on, if you're in the mix, to then cut a deal. And then if it is, let's just say, it is a President Michael Bloomberg or President Joe Biden or a President, God forbid, but Elizabeth Warren or someone like that, then you've just, I think, increased your chances of being named to the cabinet, the way, you know, Rick Perry was named with that. But I want to move on to another race, but I want to give you the final word on this.
Right. Well, I could see her running, maybe trying to get in on as a vice president on a ticket, or possibly, nobody's mentioned it, but possibly switching over to Congress and trying to make something of this combination when we lose our congressional seat because our population is waning, and Cicilline and Landrieu are fighting out. I could see her trying to elbow into there. I think that's a definite possibility, but I think you're right that the campaigning begins with a national focus starting in January for Gina Raimondo.
Yeah, I think it does. And just from a temperament, she is friendly with Cicilline. She has a Cicilline sign on her lawn. She is a CEO type, and I think she looks at the other potentials in the race and says, I'm going to be the strongest woman. I'm going to play the gender card. I like, you know, come on, Harvard, Yale Law, Rhodes Scholar, definitely has proven the ability to raise money, New York, Silicon Valley. I think she has the CEO mentality. I want to ask you about the Mattiello race. I think he's in real trouble. I think it has been one thing after the other. I want to remind people, for some people that are dismissing him, they think he's going to get in. Steve Fryers has been a consistent force in that district. Last time around, there was a third-party candidate who received 200 votes. The mail ballots have been down. I do not think Mattiello escapes, or I don't think he claims victory. Well, 2 years ago, he did claim victory, even though he had lost, so I don't know what to imagine that night. But I think this time around, he's the cat with nine lives, but I think he's just out of trapdoors.
Well, I might agree, but there's just so much power of incumbency, especially for a speaker. The biggest hit has been the murmuring from other representatives that they wouldn't vote for him for speaker, because without that, then it's just a regular old General Assembly race, in which case there's no great value to stick with him.
Right.
So that's going to be a lot of the question I think people in Cranston are asking themselves. But if you think, you know, the adjustments he's made, such as going after the car tax as a response to almost losing 2 years ago, he's done a good bit of that, and he's thrown around a lot of that General Assembly slush money they give to candidates to hand out in their communities. So it'll be quite a thing if Fryers pulls it off. I mean, I know there's buzz, but the incumbency of the speaker is a pretty powerful tool. And honestly, I kind of hesitant I'm kind of wary of seeing what comes down the pike as far as next year if Mattiello doesn't get reelected. I think it'll be an exciting thing to watch, and ultimately a hopeful thing if the speaker is unseated in this election. Of course, knowing Steve Fryers and liking Steve Fryers, I almost feel a little bad for him that he'll have to then go into that rat's nest up there. But that could be a very exciting outcome, although with the kind of fear of what it might mean that a relatively conservative Democrat has been ousted from the speakership.
Yeah. Now, I want to just get your thoughts on, and again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. I also just want to get your thoughts on the Senate race. I've been, you know, very vocal. I'm supporting Bob Flanders. Sheldon Whitehouse ads have been nonstop. He did debate Judge Flanders. He did. I'll give him that. He did give him some debates. But to me, we don't know how it's going to go. Flanders certainly has made some grounds, I think, in the last 2 weeks. There's a lot of signs out there. You're seeing a lot of support for him. But I think one of the biggest problems that they have run into is they have not been able to figure out, and during the course of the campaign now, they were just never able to figure out the Trump angle. Because, and especially, they really wouldn't go touch immigration. And I think, to me, illegal immigration, especially in Rhode Island, I don't care what anyone says, it's a big issue. It's, to me, what I hear, it's a nonpartisan issue. I hear just as many Democrats in Cranston, Johnston, Warwick complain about the state being run like a sanctuary city, the state of Providence, Central Falls. Last night, the Patriot game, NBC ran that commercial approved by President Trump talking about the caravan coming in. The Flanders people did not want to touch the caravan. I know they feel it's a Trump issue, but to me, regular voters, that could have been an opportunity to really demonstrate, here's what Sheldon Whitehouse is like, and here's what I'm like, because the most important thing is you have to be able to show the difference between the two campaigns. So in hindsight, I know it was tough for them to find an issue. They certainly got some momentum and a little bit of a buzz with the Kavanaugh hearing, but I think their biggest challenge, Jeff Deal that we had on earlier, he has fully embraced President Trump against Elizabeth Warren. Sheldon Whitehouse, during the course of this campaign, he's never been asked about driver's license for illegals. He's never been asked about Sanctuary City. In the debates, they ask the easy question, the people asking is, would you abolish ICE? Which to me, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, everybody says no, except for a few extreme people like Mayor Alorza. But I'm just curious your thoughts on the issues with that Senate race.
Well, I've been saying all along, I think it took Judge Flanders much too long to declare. He should have been out there much sooner, building up his brand, his recognition, getting his face known, seeming like a plausible, viable candidate. So it was going to be a long haul for him, a hard haul toward the end, especially with Whitehouse kind of moderating his really most radical behavior. Flanders did get the gift of Whitehouse behavior at the Kavanaugh hearings. If he had been able to get something else like that, he would have closed the gap a good bit, I think. But I'm not sure that the immigration issue was enough, especially given the gap, to make that difference. Especially if you consider, you know, White House, all these people going out collecting mail ballots for Raimondo or any of the other establishment Democrat candidates are very likely just telling the people to fill in, well, to the extent that they're influencing votes, they're influencing it on his behalf as well. So I think I could see where the immigration issue might have bumped Flanders up some. I'm not sure it's where he actually would stand on that. And so he might have made the call that the boost he could get was just not sufficient. And so he wasn't going to risk, you know, bringing the more of the identity politics mudslinging, you know, Trump casting onto him in the end. And I'm not sure it would have been enough.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll speak with Justin Katz on this Political Monday. Well, Justin, tomorrow is the day we've seen around the country. It's incredible. President Trump outstumping. A lot of people have, you know, I never remember such an interest in the midterms. You have regular people talking about the midterms. Tomorrow night, cable news is going to be crazy. I am very vested and want to see who's going to be the next governor of Florida, who's going to be the next senator from Florida, what's going to happen in Texas with Ted Cruz, and will the Democrats take over the House, or will, in fact, is this going to be enough where they're going to hold on to the Senate? And the President Trump doing the rally tonight in Missouri. He's been in Tennessee, which is like a firewall. There's no question that whether people like him or not, Justin, but the Trump factor has absolutely just, it is nonstop. It's in many ways, Justin, it's like the campaign of 2016 never ended. And now we're into the midterms. And right after the holidays in January is when people are going to start to announce, if not earlier, that they're going for 2020, especially obviously the Democrat side. And I just saw on Twitter, Elizabeth Warren at Brown University, they're saying that no one will be allowed to videotape her speech or use any audio tape to record her speech, which is so unusual. Every speaker that comes through, it's open to the public, you go in, and they're not allowing anyone to videotape her speech, which I find very, very odd. What is she going to say that she doesn't want anyone to videotape her speech? I find unusual. But on the closing note, just your thought on where things stand with the midterms. I think the White House has been very, very strong. By the way, the Democrat numbers have been going down. They've been pushing health care. He has obviously grabbed onto the caravan, which I think was a smart move. His rallies, as much as people may not like him, Justin, people are waiting over 24 hours in line to get into these Trump rallies, which I think are just going to continue to roll into next year. He's going to start and just keep the momentum going because it's such a hot ticket. But just your sense of the midterms across the country for tomorrow night.
Well, nationally, it's almost like we're always the first into a recession and the last out. I think this whole enthusiasm nationally, which we pick up from TV news and the fact that we're interested in races across the country, that is going to, I think, increase participation. Both sides are kind of motivated. So we're not going to see presidential year turnout, but it'll be higher than a normal midterm because of all that interest. I think a lot of that's passing Rhode Island by, in part, I think, ultimately, because we didn't tap into that narrative, which a Raimondo Fung race would have been part of that, because the people look at the governor's races as well as Senate and the House to measure the governor, the president's influence. I think nationally, though, it is definitely going to be exciting to watch. I haven't seen any reason not to believe the common wisdom that the GOP keeps the Senate but loses the House. But there are so many gradations in there and so many different lessons to be learned depending which races go which way that it is going to. It's going to create a lot for us to talk about in the next couple of years, that's for sure.
I think you're right. Hey, let's plan on talking on Wednesday, if you don't mind, do a recap. I'll talk to you off the air, but it's been great, sure. And we can recap some of the races on Wednesday.
Yep, either cheer or, you know, crying or beer.
That's exactly right. Well, we'll see. Let's see how things go.
Folks, he is Justin Katz, excellent managing editor at OceanStateCurrent.com. With that, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show on this election eve. 766-1380 is the phone number where you can call in. And any comments between now and 2 o'clock are obviously regarding tomorrow is election day, although there already have been tremendous number of people voting. And as I mentioned earlier, the state police were at the board of canvassers earlier because of reports that people have been using those municipal IDs to vote in Providence, of which you're not supposed to. Hey, folks, I want to remind you again, last night, great Patriot victory. And how would you like to see the Patriots? They are absolutely rolling right now. Patriots Jets tour, still a few seats left. You travel down to New York, Patriots, Jets. It's Thanksgiving weekend. So you see family on Thursday, you see them on Friday. Believe me, on Saturday, a lot of you are ready to get away. You jump on the luxury bus, motor coach, head down to New York, spend the afternoon in the city, shopping, maybe taking a Broadway show. You stay at a nice hotel, free breakfast included, big tailgate party, unlimited beer and soft drinks before the game. Tickets, section 146 field level. Call now. You can log on at 274trip.com, 274trip.com. It's my friend Alan Hockman. But call, find out more, or reserve your seats. Patriots Jets road trip down in New York, Thanksgiving weekend. 401-274-TRIP. 401-274-8747. The Patriots love to see their fans follow them on the road. Call now, 401-274-8747. Patriots Jets in New York. It's going to be a nice group going. It's family friendly. You could bring your girlfriend, your spouse, your mother, your children. It's a nice crowd of Patriot fans going. 274-TRIP, 401-274-8747. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of our program is brought to you by K's, whether it's lunch, dinner, or a drink in the lounge. Stop into K's. There they are, Cass Avenue, Woonsocket, right across from CVS. All right, your last-minute comments, 766-1380, 766-1380 on this political Monday.
I'm on the road and my ride is going strong.
Let's face it, there's nothing like a sports car. But sometimes two seats just aren't enough. Fortunately, at Paul Massey, you can choose the four-seater Camaro or the two-seater Corvette. Test drive both. And right now, take $10,000 off all 2018 Corvettes during our 2018 year-end Corvette clearance.
My Paul Massey ride.
Your sports car is waiting for the two or the four of you at Paul Massey Chevrolet.
Well, nothing more important. We can all agree. We may disagree on politics, but we can all agree there's nothing more important than clean drinking water. And it can be yours if you call Water Filter Company today, 401-294-2400. 401-294-2400, Water Filter Company. Remember, bottled water is an unregulated industry. Instead, you can have a water filter installed right in your home. Call Water Filter Company today. 401-294-2400. 401-294-2400. Water Filter Company. Since 1986, a Rhode Island success story. It's Steve. It's Alice. I had a water filter installed in my home. It took less than 10 minutes, and you notice the difference. Call Water Filter Company today. 401-294-2400, 401-294, free quote, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts, Water Filter Company, 401-294-2400.
Paul Massey Buick GMC South is New England's number one Buick dealer with the area's largest selection. And Rhode Island's number one GMC dealer, where every day you'll find the lowest price with our one price guarantee. Lease a 2019 Terrain front-wheel drive SLE for $198 a month for 39 months with $1,988 due at signing.
My Paul Massey ride.
So shop Paul Massey, where every vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest one price.
Folks, Tavolo, stop in to Tavolo. What are you doing today? What are you doing tonight, as a matter of fact, at Tavolo? Take advantage. T-A-V-O-L-O. Little slice of paradise. 970 Douglas Pike, Route 7 at Smithfield. Leonard and his staff do a tremendous job. Mondays, 50% off bottles of wine. And take advantage of their three-course price-fixed lunch at Tavolo, just $14.95. And they're taking reservations for Thanksgiving Day at Tavolo from 11:30 to 8. Located 970 Douglas Pike, Route 7 in Smithfield, it's Tavolo, T-A-V-O-L-O, Wine Bar and Tuscan Grill. Call them at 349-4979. It's creative, affordable dining. Try their grilled swordfish or their fresh pasta or the fresh lobster ravioli or the baked cod or the chicken parm or the veal parm. And right now at Tavolo, again, they're taking reservations Thanksgiving Day. You don't have to worry about the cooking. You don't have to worry about the cleanup. Nope, you're just enjoying yourself with a nice meal at Tavolo. You can enjoy your family. And they have, from 11:30 to 8, full regular dinner menu available with the traditional Thanksgiving dinner special, turkey, stuffing, cranberry, sweet potato, mashed potato. The turkey is $21, and they do a three-course turkey special for just $27. Make your reservation now. And also, the best wine is at Tavolo, without question. I received a nice email from Grady that said, JD, you weren't kidding about the wine. What a wine list they have. Tavolo Wine Bar and Tuscan Grill. Call them 349-4979 and online at TavoloWineBar.com.
You are listening to the John DePietro Show on 99.9 FM and 1380 AM. News Talk WNRI.
All right, we're back on this election eve. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We start at 11, and we go right until 2 o'clock on AM 1380 and also 99.9 FM, and it's WNRI. Now, folks, again, tomorrow, Election Day, we'll have full coverage all day. All day. Full coverage. Just see what it's done. Yeah. Full coverage tomorrow, all day on Election Day. I want to say good afternoon to everybody tuned in on Facebook Live. Mike Montella, you're dreaming. He doesn't have a shot. You're wasting your vote. Vote for Jeff Deal. There's Dr. Hochman. There's Drew Jordan. I'm late. Good to hear your voice. Thank you. Another day. There's Ed. No, that's not happening. Nope. He is not. He's going for another term, Ed. So this business of Gina is going to go for the Senate or Congress. Nope. Not happening. I'm sure she'd like to go for the Senate, but she's not going to run against Senator Reid. That's not going to happen. So maybe then after another term. But remember, what is she going to do? If she wins tomorrow, I think it is true that I like that. People have been posting that. We changed our clocks. Now let's change our governor. Go Fung. A lot of people are saying that. That is exactly right. Dennis has a great, looks like she was taking a knee to run up. Never really engaged. That is exactly right. Never engaged. Ashley, call tomorrow. There's Ryan. Let me know who you're voting for. Never engaged in the campaign. And tomorrow, again, I want to hear your problems. You know, there's Nellie Gorbea, and she's in front of Comic-Con. But tomorrow, I will tell you straight out, I am voting for Mayor Fung. and I am voting for Bob Flanders. And all we can hope for, folks, I think the Trillo campaign is collapsing. And those that are go on my Facebook page, you know, by the way, I posted, the media has been covering for Gina Raimondo. There's no question. And that Pete Davidson, what a loser. But, you know, I posted the story where Governor Raimondo refused to, look at that. Does anyone believe this Trillo poll? Complete nonsense. But but you got to realize there's no downside to it. There's no downside to it because it doesn't matter. He's never going to run again. He's 75 years old. I think he's leaving for Florida either tomorrow night or Wednesday. He's not even going to be here. He's got his yacht ready. He's set for the winter. But I posted the business that Raimondo would not, in fact, wear the flag pin. Look at that. 885 comments, and it was shared 1,000 times. So hopefully that has some impact. But tomorrow, you're not going to want to miss it, folks. It's Election Day coverage on the John DePietro Show.
He's John DePietro. He's really in the know with his talk show on your radio. He's John DePietro. Tune in your radio. Go get him, Johnny D.
Folks, tomorrow is Election Day. Remember to vote. You have to vote. Vote Fung and vote Flanders. If everyone listening does that, if Mayor Fung does well, especially in Northern Rhode Island, he's got a real very, very, very good chance. So listen, get out and vote. We're going to do full coverage tomorrow. And as always, visit my website, DePietro.com, DePetro.com, and follow me on both Facebook and Twitter.
WNRI Woonsocket.
WNRI.